Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. We're just waiting on Bettina to get in here in the studio. And if you're listening to this on the recording, then you'll have some recording time here at the beginning. That's a little bit dead air. So forgive me. She's on her way. And we'll get started in a couple moments. All right. Here we go.
Listening to The Soul Connection on Blog Talk Radio. It's spirituality simplified, conversations on conscious living, featuring your hosts, Bettina Goodwin and Eric Cerrone.
Well, hello, everybody. Hello, Bettina. How are you?
Hi, Eric. Hi, everyone. I'm doing great. A little couple of seconds late there. Sorry about that.
No worries at all. I assigned you a task, so it's kind of my fault. Before the show,
No problem.
today we were, I got introduced to, I see these personality tests, come up and they're just so useful. It's kind of what I wanted to talk today about because Bettina is such an advocate and facilitator of the Enneagram workshop and finding out, where on spectrums that our core personality lies. And there's just so much beneficial things to be gleaned from your results and also the results of the people who are most important to you in your life. And so we came across one. I kind of came across one a couple of days ago, and I sent it to Bettina and made her do it before the show. So as maybe we'll get finishing up and getting in here, both of us under the gun, as we got our results ready and ready to bring forth the show for you today.
Yeah, and considering how quickly I did the test, I think it was probably fairly accurate.
Yeah. It is so wonderful when they're so well constructed that even going through it in a quickened pace, it comes out and you read the results and you're like, yeah, that hits me. And I think there's a real need. I think there's a real carnal need for this because, you look around in astrological things, psychics, zodiacs, the Chinese years that go in a rotation. And there's a real... It's really wonderful when you find out some things about yourself and there's a real desire for it. And certainly some are much, much more legitimate than others, and some may be based a little bit more on neuroscience and a whole bunch of theories ever becoming more and more finer to the way that things are and the way that we perceive ourselves as people. But one of the things that I find is most beneficial, beyond my own scores and the scores and of people around me, that it's not so much scores, it's kind of like puts people in different kind of types or tendencies, is that when you realize how many of them that there are, and you might own, your certain designations might make up less than 10% of the population, it really helps me be more empathetic and considerate about other people who may be on opposite sides of the spectrum on a number of different measures. And to realize that my way isn't better, because I have thought that, and the ego will trick me into thinking that, and has tricked me into thinking that over the course of my lifetime, and to realize that other people are just different, and they are just as valid and have their wants and their needs, which are the same as mine, but just expressed and sought after in different ways. And I always find that sometimes a hidden benefit of doing these things, to really understand that everybody has the same worth, and that I can, it's a kind of a call to be reminded of compassion when dealing with others.
Yeah, as you said, there's many different types of personality tests out there, and the Enneagram is kind of my baby. I've really, since I first was introduced to it by Peter, I have really taken to it and really gained a lot from it, from my own perspective, not only in relating to other people and understanding other people, and like you said, it really helps bring you into that place of compassion, but also in understanding myself and having more self-awareness. And I don't think it really matters what personality typing that you do. I think what does matter is that it is a fantastic tool for having that self-awareness, for gaining more personal growth and going deeper into your own characteristics and seeing how they are such an integral part in how you deal with day-to-day life and how you move through the experiences that you have, and how perhaps you can take, you know, I say quite often that the Enneagram is great because those characteristics that you have can either be your undoing or they can be your gift. And if they are your undoing, there's no reason why you can't use the Enneagram, the personality type, to find your way to where those same characteristics, they don't change, but they can become your gift, and you can use them to your benefit and to enhance your life and have a better life and experience it more fully. So I'm an advocate to some degree. Ram Dass always says, don't get caught up in the method. So yes, the method, it's, you know, it's kind of a bit of a paradox, because the method is the thing that gets you to that really good place, but then once you're there, it's time to let go. I think someone once said, it might have been the Buddhist, I don't know, said that when you cross a river, you use a canoe, but when you get to the other side of the river, you don't carry the canoe with you because you don't need it anymore. You leave the canoe and you carry on. And I think that's, you know, part of just a little, not a warning so much as just a little bit of advice, is that they are great tools to use, and there are many great tools out there, but the idea is to use the tool to find that self-awareness and then to be able to not be dependent on the tool for your peace and your well-being once you've done the process.
You know, I love that you bring that up, because that was actually part of my notes for the show today. I definitely wanted to touch on that point, and it's so funny that you go right to it. You know, I do love that you bring up the word tool, because I find that concept has been really helpful to me, the idea of having tools to use to get yourself to the place that you know to get to your loving presence, to get to that place where you can feel compassion, to a place where you can stand and self-reflect and be self-aware. You know, these tools, these ideas, these tests, and they, you know, basically every week we do a show based around a tool, and that's, you know, it's kind of one of the beautiful gifts of doing this with you, is that it always reminds me of another tool, and I love the idea of having a toolbox, and you know, much like a handyman carries around a toolbox, a carpenter, an electrician, whatever, they carry around their tools with them to get the job done. When the job comes to self-exploring and to become more aware of ourselves, to understand better how to go about the meaning that we give life in the most loving and beautiful way possible, when that's the job, I like to have the idea or the imagery of carrying around my toolbox. And like you say, these personality tests are a wonderful tool to get us there. And then I love the idea of the canoe, and it's spot on. You know, it's to get you there, and it's wonderful, because when, you know, you always go back to saying creating the gap, which I also love, when we find ourselves wrapped up in anxiety or wrapped up in egoic behaviors, or we're being commanded by our ego and we're not questioning it, when we create that gap, I'm like, how do I get back to my loving presence? You know, what tool can I use? And doing this show just over the course of years, you know, there's a good 150 tools there. And you can go to, you know, not to even this show, but your bookshelf. And there's always something there. There's always a tool to use to get you back to the job of connecting with yourself and getting to that loving presence, so that you can relate to yourself in a more loving and peaceful and compassionate and creative way.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it brings up something else that just came to mind as you were saying that about the tools and about the great number of tools that there are available, and I think it's amazing. However, I always have a however, don't I? I think sometimes we can get caught up in learning about the tools and moving from one tool to the other. But you really have to, if you want to hang a picture on the wall, you need to get out your hammer and your nails or your little hooks, and you need to put that hammer to use, and you need to hammer the nail into the wall so that the picture can go up. If you pull out the hammer and you let it sit on the table and you don't use it, your picture's not going to get hung up ever. And it's the same thing with all these tools that are available. They're amazing and they work fantastic. If you actually put them to use, if you practice them, it is a practice, and you really have to give it some time and energy and some consistency in order for those tools to start acting on your behalf and doing what it is that you want them to do. It's great to do research, and sometimes we can get caught up in that research and that reading and that going to workshops and reading books and buying different programs, but they only work if we actually put them to use and start applying them to our everyday life. And sometimes just in the looking for different things, it can be a distraction from actually doing that, doing it, and living and using the tools in a practical way as opposed to just in theory.
Yeah, I love that you bring up that point. I have this huge smile on my face because with your analogy, it makes me think, you know, we can all relate to, you know, the frustrated housewife who, you know, her husband goes and boats and collects and goes to Home Depot and buys all these tools and then just doesn't fix anything, you know. Got this amazing basement and shop full of tools that doesn't make you a carpenter or a plumber or whatever, you know. And the same thing, you know, if we're an inspiring artist, we can certainly understand, you know, you can buy the canvas and you can buy the oil paint and you can buy $100 paintbrushes. It doesn't make you a painter, you know. Just having the tools, let's not, you know, be content with just collecting tools, you know, putting, actually, like you say, spending time with them and actually using them and having some patience, all words that you used, is really the key. That's where you really, you know, get going. Just having the things is really just another egoic behavior.
Yeah, I like the way you put it. Having all those tools in your garage doesn't make you whatever. So, yeah, that was a good way of putting it. Yeah, and I think we get impatient, you know, we want, yeah. You know, it's in our nature and it's the ego's push that we are looking for the magic pill, what I call the magic pill, which is like, you know, you just pop a pill and everything's fine again, but it doesn't, you know, it's a temporary fix, it's a Band-Aid fix, and if we really want to see long-term, deep, real change within ourselves and within how we experience life, then we really do have to put a little bit of work into it. We have to let go of old stuff that doesn't work for us anymore. We have to change our perspective about how we see the world, about the ideas that we have, about our presumptions and our assumptions and our expectations and a lot of old ideas that may not really be working to our advantage. So it is really important to turn it into a practice as opposed to a one-time fix.
Yeah, a practice, you know, and that's a wonderful way to look at our own lives too, as a practice. You know, our lives aren't to be fixed, you know, they are to be practiced. I love words, you know, I love, you know, putting them in different places and sentences so that they actually show us what they actually mean. I think it's excellent. Going back to the personality test at the beginning, and I love how you brought up earlier about how it really helps in relationship and in romantic relationships. It has some of its biggest possible benefits, and I know that you and Peter are very much into the Enneagram personality tests. And I do also like at the beginning when you said that realizing our strengths and weaknesses based on our personality traits, and how one personality trait can be a great strength and it can also be a weakness depending on where it's applied and with how much fervor. And I think that that's really important, and because what I want to get at is that sometimes we, let's say that the personality test says that we are wonderfully empathetic to people, but it can also be our downfall because maybe we don't, it's wonderful because people really feel drawn to us and we feel, and we can, it's a great, great, great skill to have as a healer, but it can be a weakness because it can also contribute to us not standing up for ourselves, to always be looking at, being other person focused and maybe not advocating enough for ourselves. And I think, you also added on to that, and I think that's really, because when I'm talking to people sometimes, and even, even when we were together a couple nights ago at a group setting, and, it's what we focus on that determines how we feel. We can look at that and say, oh, that's a wonderful, that's just what it is, but then how we apply that part of our personality, where we focus on it, do we focus where it's a weakness for us? It's like, oh, man, I just haven't stood up for myself, I don't get what I want, I get walked all over. Or do we look at it, it's like, well, this is what really helps me volunteer in the community and make great gains with children and people who are vulnerable. And we can sometimes get stuck looking at just one side of the coin, and then it can affect how we view ourselves, our own self-worth, and how we judge ourselves about a personality trait that, has just seemed to be born into us. And I think that can really, depending on whether we see balance and whether we can take a step back and realize, with grace, how beautiful it is, and how in some ways we are susceptible to poor feelings and of not getting what we want out of life because of the same trait.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that you bring that up because, here's the thing. It's not necessarily that we need to stop doing any particular thing or saying any particular thing. It's about changing our perspective of how we're looking at that, whatever that
exactly.
thing is. If we're doing something for someone and we resent it, we don't necessarily have to stop doing it. What we have to do is shift out of that resentment, to stop holding on to it and expecting something in return for it, and to do it from that place of loving presence. Yes, sometimes when that shift is made, you discover that it's not something that you want to do anymore. But a lot of times, many, many times, it's not about not doing it anymore. It's just about changing your perspective of where it's coming from. Is it coming from resentment? Is it coming from love? When we make that shift, that's what changes everything. It's not the doing or the not doing. It's the, where are we doing it? From what place, what feeling are we doing it? And I think that's the key. Because we've talked about negative people before and we can avoid negative people, but there's two things when I hear, should avoid negative people and only surround yourself with happy, loving people. One, if we avoid negative people just don't recognize that loving space within them. If we avoid them all and we are able to find that loving space within us, then where will those negative people learn about love? And then the other side of that is that we get our best and our most rewarding lessons from being in the presence of negative people, especially when it triggers us or has a negative effect on us. We can learn so much from that. We can learn how to change, as we say, go from your undoing into your gift. You can take those personality traits in the other person, apply them to the personality traits in you that are creating a negative effect, and then, again, shift that perspective so that you are turning those personality traits into your gift. It sounds so simple, but again, practice is the key.
I think you have that dead on. So an aspect of my life where this really is showing up for me, and has shown up for me, is I'm a kind of a person who has, competition is really attractive to me. And it's been something that I've had ever since I was a kid. And I remember because of playing Nintendo with friends. And I had to win. And it was like the most important thing. And of course, where does it come from? And we can explore that. And then we can explore our relationship with our parents and conditional love. And we can bring up all these ideas about where it comes from. But or it could also be a natural attribute that I just had and come to this life with, where it's something that was really important to me. And for a long time in my life, I was just ruled by this one personality trait, and I would always have to get the leg up so much so that I would cheat or I would manipulate scenarios so that I could be the winner, and it was causing me so much pain in my life, and when I won, it was like it was a temporary relief, a very temporary relief, and then I would get back to the grind and I would be anxious, and every next scenario that I saw where I could compete with somebody. Was a situation that I had to kind of redeem myself again. And this was an area of life that really jumped out at me when I first started the work. And understanding that my competitiveness is, in some ways, it's a gift. I bring up the story and kind of focus on the negative to begin on, but it was also a gift for me because it also really helped propel me in school. It really helped propel me in athletics, and it really helped propel me in business and in coming up with ideas and always pushing the envelope. And these were the places that I was really good, but I couldn't turn it on or off. It was just always on. And when it was on in situations that didn't call for it, I was hurting relationships. I was being unpleasant to be around. I was anxious. I was creating a lot of angst in myself. And then because it was driving, I was a negative force in many relationships outside of where it's appropriate. People were pulling back from me, and then I couldn't connect with people, and it's like that was getting frustrating. And it's just this thing in life where you can look at it and you can begin to say, okay, well, I have this natural trait or tendency. Where can I put it to greatest effect? And that was like the real bridge for me, being able to get control, understanding it about myself, and why these personality tests are just so important, and being self-aware so important, because then it allows you the choice to begin to rein it in and gain control of some of our dominant personality traits. And so, being able to transition that into, say, coaching, and I can spend hundreds and literally thousands of hours with kids and sports, and it just drives me, and I want to go every single time. There's not one time where I resent being there, because it is a life force inside of me that drives me to do all these wonderful things in this area of life. And then being able to be happy and content with being able to let it out and have it be finding areas of life where it's a real boon, where it's a real pleasure, and it's a real help to me and to the people around me, and then realizing where it doesn't serve me. It doesn't serve me in my relationship with family. It doesn't serve me in relationships with my friends, where it doesn't matter who's winning or losing. And being able to find positive outlets for domineering traits in ourselves. And this one is just a personal example for me that has been super important in me getting more out of life of what I want and having it, reduce how many negative effects it has in my life.
Yeah, I think you're right. We mentioned the other night when we talked, we were talking about, is there anything wrong with him? Somebody asked if there was anything wrong with ambition. Mm-hmm. And I answered that no, ambition isn't the problem. Competitiveness isn't the problem. Desire isn't the problem. The problem is when we have an attachment to the outcome of that competitiveness, where we have to win in order to feel good, or we have to achieve in order to feel worthy, or we have to acquire something we desire in order to be happy. That's when it becomes a problem. But desire on its own, with no attachment to the outcome, there's nothing wrong with it. Competitiveness, there's nothing wrong with it until we put that attachment on it. And I think that's an important distinction because I think sometimes people get the wrong idea about those things when they start on this path, and they think that it's not good to have ambition, or it's not good to be to have desires or want things, or to want to make money or whatever it is. Again, there's nothing wrong with having money. What is your attachment to it? What is it that you think that money is giving you? That's where the issue comes in. And so it's just something else to be aware of. And that is how you change from your undoing to your gift. You take your characteristics, you remove the attachments, and then they become gifts.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. When you remove the attachment, I use the word about gaining control over it. And I like your word even better. Removing the attachment, it doesn't define me, and it's just this wonderful thing that I can use to create beautiful things, or it's a thing that I can let run rampant and cause to create ugly things, and then the amount of self-confidence that you get. When you're able to rein in something that's a destructive behavior in your life by removing the attachment to it, not giving it your power any longer, the amount of confidence that gives you to approach all the things in us that are like this. This is just one example of a personality. It just gives such tremendous confidence and peace that there isn't anything that can come into our lives that we can't handle in a peaceful and loving way. And that, on top of the specific example, is maybe even the greater gift.
Absolutely.
Well, we've really burned through our time already, half an hour, and I feel like I haven't exhaled yet. But that's what the meditation at the end of the show is to remind me to settle back in. And I would love to listen and be a part of you leading the meditation.
Absolutely. Let's meditate. Let's close our eyes and take a deep breath. And breathe deeply into your belly, feeling the energy move all the way down to the base of your spine. And notice if it's being blocked by anything. And then, as you breathe, allow the energy to move gently through the block and experience how you feel. Become aware of what is going on in your body physically and the connection to your emotional or mindful state. And as you sit in this place, feeling the energy moving through you, bring to mind a characteristic about yourself that you may not necessarily like. And take a look at why you don't like this particular characteristic. Is there a neediness about it? Is there an attachment to an outcome? Is there something about this characteristic that causes you to feel like you're not a good person, or you're unworthy, or to be angry with yourself? Whatever it is, take a look at it. And have some compassion for the human being that you are and the mistakes that you will sometimes make because of your choices, and forgive yourself. And take a deep breath into this forgiveness and let it go. And then look again at this characteristic. Is there some way that you can change this into a more positive asset? Is there some way that this characteristic can be used in a kinder, more gentler way? When this characteristic arises in your day-to-day life, you have that choice. Be more aware and make the choice that serves your peace, your love, your kindness. This is a practice. And with practice, the choices will be made clear. Now allow yourself to sit quietly in that place of peace and know that all is in perfect and divine order at all times. And when you're ready, wiggle your fingers and your toes and bring yourself back to the world.
Thank you, Bettina.
You're welcome.
I like that you bring up forgiving yourself. Because often it's like your strongest personality traits that are dominant in your interactions with life. And it's important to forgive yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And look forward to talking all to you next week.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today on The Soul Connection. Eric Cerrone is a spiritual thinker, listener, and coach. To find out more about Eric, you can go to intelligentoasis.com. Bettina Goodwin is the creator of The Wise Man's Way. The Wise Man's Way, heart-centered living for the modern urban man. For information on products and services, including workshops, group meetings, and one-on-one counseling, please go to thewisemansway.ca. And for more information on living an authentic life, to learn more about Bettina's offerings as a spiritual counselor and Reiki master, please visit thesoulconnection.ca. Thank you for tuning in to The Soul Connection.